you come back to first principles, which is that the Lord alone is a self, the Lord alone has proprium, then everything else is a receiver of life. How does that which is life itself bring in to being what is other than itself, whereby that other can have a sense of being a self because reciprocation is necessary for love to find its fulfillment? And the only way that the divine can do that is to bring in what is an as of self. Because if it was to bring in another self, it brings into being another divine, and that can't happen. So the idea is the as of self. So there is teaching regarding the relationship of the principal cause to the instrumental cause, where the instrumental feels the principal as its own. So the idea is that the Lord's life flows into us as that which is primary, and as the instrument, we feel it as our own. And that's how the condition for what is other than the Lord is able to be brought into being, because love is to feel the delight of another as one's own. So you have to have what is other, and the only way the Lord can bring what is other into being is if that other is an as of self, which feels as a self. So affirming that the feeling that you have life in yourself is something true is hell. That's what it is. All evils flow out of the belief that we have life in ourself. And having a spiritual life, which we all do if we're engaging with the word and looking to the Lord, but we still have a belief in ourselves. This is the most difficult thing to have turned around. And so the cities that are built, our self-concept, everything is built around the idea that I am a self, that I am an autonomous, independent being. And so even while it might look and sound good and true, the fact that that's at the center of it is the issue. So memory knowledges that are alienated are the organization of thought in a way which dismisses the need to practice, to do self-examination and repentance. That is alienated memory knowledges. Because the question is, alienated or separated from what? So these are knowledges that are separated from practice or from charity, if you like. That's another way of thinking about that. So that's what's going on in this story. It's describing a state whereby we are struggling to engage in work, and all these rationalizations are appearing as to why bother, you know, like, or whatever they happen to be. I mean, we all have our own kind of aspect of self-talk in that regard. And so there is a point where there is this idea of Joseph not being remembered. I mean, we've dealt with this repeatedly over the Genesis series, but here it is again. And Joseph, or what is more interior, is not remembered or is not alive in our awareness as we move into more external aspects of life and seek meaning from there as opposed to from what is more interior. And that is a king arising in Egypt that did not know Joseph. So this is the love of self and love of the world at work. But its exposure, which is what's going to be occurring over the next number of readings, is its defeat. So again, you know, we come back to this idea in logopraxis that the freeing is in the seeing. And so the nature of what's coming up with regard to the plagues and everything else that occurs within Egypt is an exposure of what it is we are actually submerged in, so far as that false self-concept is concerned. So these things are rising, these molestations and what have you, they are not something that is being set upon us. We are actually in the midst of it already. We just don't see it. And so as we move toward having these things exposed, it appears as if they've just popped up and now have rallied. But in actual fact, they are in the world of spirits, in the other life, in the life of our mind, whirling around all the time, And it feels like it's us because we have some investment in it. But the way that that is broken is through being confronted with it, which then leads to a drive into the word to find truths that we can use. And that is the multiplication of the sons of Israel in the face of this greater sense of oppression. So more truths are able to be called upon and used, and that is what brings about this idea of greater insights. All of that is coming, but of course you have greater opposition as more truths are brought to the fore. And what this process involves is seeing them for what they are, which is their judgment. Because to see them from the word means that they are then judged, if they are truly seen for what they are. And that's when it's described as them being put back into their hells or receding into their hells, not to come out again. Because what's happened is that truths that counter them have become established in a way whereby those things that they are don't enter the mind any longer. So they are judged and cast out. I looked up the word storehouses in the Hebrew, and that was quite interesting. So that had to do with the idea of the extremity or the end, extremity in that sense, or it also carried the idea of what is cut off. So I thought that was interesting, and it also carried the idea of loathing. So that was all in that meaning, and you have that sort of drawn out in the Egyptian response to the sons of Israel. And the other thing was that if it's Pithom, the city, so its name means city of justice, and Ramses means son or child of the sun. And these are the storehouses, and the idea there, of course, is that the natural has its own sense of justice, fairness, which is self-serving. So you have that on the one hand, and you have this idea of a false doctrine captured in the idea of Ramses as well. So these two things are that into which are gathered everything that supports a false sense of self. And these things are disconnected from that idea of, obviously, of what is good and true, or what is a true sense of doctrine. And one thing to remember here is that what this all leads to is the revealing of the name of God to Moses, which is I am that I am, that the Lord alone is. And so this whole process is one of having our belief in ourself broken down, so that we can come to see that the Lord alone has life. And so those cities that are built and the bricks and all of that kind of stuff all has to do with pulling together what supports myself. And that is what ultimately has to be broken down. And that's represented by the later on, the conflict with Pharaoh, with Moses and Aaron. So the process involves being provided with a sense of self. And the issue is not that we have a sense of self. That's never taken away. The issue is believing that we are the source of that feeling of life, that we are a self. That is what has been affirmed and confirmed over the course of our lives. And what spiritual teaching seeks to do is break down that belief that the feeling that I feel that I have life in myself is true. It's not true, it's an appearance. And so when I recognize it's an appearance, I move into that idea of an as of self, which is a acknowledgement that the Lord is the only self and that the feeling of self I have is from Him. And it's about living out of that belief as opposed to living out of the belief in the appearance being real. And that leads to a totally different quality of life, because the Lord can't be in the lie. So the strength of our belief in ourself is what leads to things like the experience of the merit-guilt cycle, the fact that we can be molested by spirits is because we have an investment in maintaining their presence with us because we want to maintain a sense of our own life. So it's being brought to that place where we acknowledge that all life flows in, that all good and truth is from the Lord, and all evil and falsity is from the hells. And if you are truly in an as of self, self-concept, nothing can stick because there's an acknowledgement that the life is not ours, that it flows in. But, you know, I think most of us are a ways from that. But that's the power in that idea, is that it can set us free from believing in ourselves, which is what causes us all our suffering.